Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Juke Joint. I am Jacob Whitmore. I'm joined once again by my lovely compatriot, Aaron New.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Wait, second take. I was going to that whole thing about Chris Pratt the first round.
Pratt doing these days?
You know, I don't know.
Is he okay? I think he's losing esteem in the Chris community.
I think he's... Captain America?
Chris Evans.
Yeah, I think he's taking the spotlight a little more nowadays. Of course, I don't know. I mean, well, because he's apparently transitioning out of that role. I just saw apparently this is the very last Marvel this movie come up. The next Avengers is the very last Marvel Cinematic Universe contract for Robert Downey Jr. And I'm thinking, oh no.
I get the impression that Infinity War is going to be the end of this era of the MCU. And then afterwards they're going to start doing like a bunch of other stuff, which I may or may not watch. I highly doubt I will, personally, but we'll just see.
I wonder if it'll transition into a new like Fab Four, because you had, what, the Hulk, Iron Man,
Thor,
Captain America. Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if he'll transition to like Spider-Man and Ant-Man, like all those popular ones now.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man would make sense. The trick will be like seeing, because what are the ones that they have outgoing? I guess they have to resolve some of the things from Ant-Man, which I still don't know if people are really paying attention to that series. Spider-Man is always going to rake in tickets because it's Spider-Man, and he's like the top three superheroes anyway.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is in, like, pre-production. I don't know if I'm going to see it, because I highly doubt it will be as good as the first two, considering how they kind of dirty-dealed James Gunn, in a way.
Yeah.
But, them's the breaks. I don't know.
Well, hey, it's the end of 2018, finally.
It is the end of 2018. We're technically still in the middle of holidays.
Yeah, so it's what, Friday?
Yeah, it's...
Sorry, go ahead.
It is Friday, the 28th of December.
Yeah, so whenever this comes out, we'll actually, not to get sidetracked, finally have a podcast provider that we can start putting these shows out. So even though there's going to be a backlog, yeah.
About time.
Of course, the holidays and that a lot of that slowed things down too. My insane work schedule, but yeah, finally have a podcast provider and can start throwing these episodes up. Hopefully, get them up today. Except this one will come out on Tuesday, which will be New Year's Day actually. So yeah,
so like that'll be our way of ringing in the new year.
Yeah,
just kicking off 2019 with a bang, new show and everything.
Exactly, yeah. With a backlog of episodes, it's just quality content all around. But, yeah, so 2018 is, I don't want to say finally over with. I don't know. I guess there were good and bad things throughout the entire year.
Well, before we get into that, I want to ask you, how were your holidays, Aaron?
Were they pretty good. I think the only downside was, I'm out here on the West Coast, of course. Not really anybody to hang out with, no family and stuff. Like my girlfriend's family came in for Thanksgiving, which was awesome. But really the extent of my holidays with family was a little FaceTime conversation on Christmas Day. And then my girlfriend and I, we made dinner and did gifts and everything that day and did a little hike and stuff as well. And that was really the most exciting part of it. So, yeah. How was yours?
Mine was interesting. I went through my typical thing of seeing my maternal family, who I've got very little in common with. And I just, went through it all. I was having a bit of a up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which was fascinating.
Yeah.
So, as of when we're taping this right now, and I don't know if this will still apply for when the episode comes out, but as of December 28th, 2018, Eric Idle of the group Monty Python has been following me on Twitter for the past 3 days.
And I love the story behind it, too, because especially from my perspective, I'm just scrolling through my Twitter feed and this whole thing just appears in my timeline. And it just kind of happens by chance, I guess.
So here's what it was. I was in the car heading up to Pittsburgh to see my family. And I'm looking through Twitter. I wasn't driving. And just on my Twitter timeline, Eric Idle was posted this like old photo. He's like, there's two people, and he says, now I'm going to give whoever can guess the person on the right a prize of my autobiography. I'll give you a free copy of the book if you can tell me who this person is on the right. And I looked at it, and being the obsessive pop culture person I am, who watches all the documentaries of the people who I like, I went, well, that looks like Jim Beach, who is the manager of Queen, and just recently was the manager of Monty Python, and was just recently played in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie by Tom Hollander. And Eric Idle goes, yep, that's who it is. So... So then he's like, well, then how am I going to get your address to send you this book? I'm like, just direct message me, and I'll send you my address. And so he says, so how am I going to get your address? And I go, well, just direct message me, and I'll send you my address. And he, in order to do that, he had to follow my account. And he hasn't unfollowed me yet either. So.
I think the true crowning achievement of this is that you taught a member of Monty Python how to DM somebody on Twitter, or that at least you explained that process. Then about this whole experience in my mind.
Repeat that sentence.
Which one?
The whole thing, everything you just said.
Oh, this is gonna be a hell of a thing to edit. Jesus Christ. Yeah. So the best. The best thing about this whole thing, in my experience, is the fact that, not that you're getting a free book or anything like that, is the fact that you had to take a moment to teach a member of Monty Python how to use Twitter. Which was...
message me in the DMs, bro.
Go back and tell yourself that, like, 4 or 5 years ago and see what happens.
Well, what I'm... Yeah. Here's what's been fascinating to me, is that I actually have talked to Eric Idle before in the past, and I think he's forgotten this, thankfully, which was a couple of years ago. We debated on Twitter about the merits of YouTube and the copyright system, and he was saying we should file a class action lawsuit against YouTube because people are using it to steal people's money, to which I said, actually, there's a lot of people who are doing original content, and they don't have the tools to protect their stuff from fraudulent claims, and that's why the system is there. And we debated for that a bit. And that was actually around this time in 2016. So I'm glad that 2 years later, he's completely forgotten, and I'm getting a reward for it. I actually have to say, the only downside to him following me on Twitter, and still following me on Twitter, is that I've become paranoid about tweeting. Because anytime I like think to myself, like, oh, I'll send this out on Twitter, I have to go, but is Eric Idle worthy? Is it worthy of the attention that I'm getting from a member of Monty Python that I would?
Do you think he like just goes and posts things, or is he just like? Do you think he actually sits there and scrolls through his feed and looks at stuff?
Scrolls through his feed.
Yeah.
I think the main thing. I mean, what can you say? He's a 75-year-old man. I mean, he uses it the way he would use it, which is that, you know, he'll like post things about him and his friends and the stuff that he's been doing, and he plugs his book and he plugs Spamalot and all that stuff, which is fine. I wouldn't expect anything more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two members of Monty Python who actually use Twitter, and that's Eric Idle and John Cleese.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cleese uses it mainly to rail against the press, but Eric Idle uses it as just a sort of like, oh, and here's my memories of George Harrison, here's my memories of Monty Python, here's my memories of the Ruddles and all that stuff. I'm mm-hmm. fine with that, you know.
Yeah.
It makes me all paranoid because then now I'm like, okay, so then next episode of the gaming weekend I have to plug on my Twitter, and then it's going to be showing up. Eric Idle's going to get on Twitter, and it'll be one new tweet, and then it looks and it goes, Jacob's gaming weekend. Here's the episode where I make a Schindler's List joke about Voldemort. And I had to see whether my career has a future or not in the wake of that. Because it's amazing to go from like, okay, you're doing this a completely isolated, no one is paying attention whatsoever, to suddenly, hey, a member of the most influential comedy group, or one of them of all time, is like currently following you on social media. What are you gonna do with that, Whitmer? What are you gonna say? You've got the attention you wanted for so long. Are you gonna use it? Or are you gonna throw it away? I don't know. Man. I have no answer what I'm gonna do. I'm still contemplating it.
So I'd say that probably was like the icing. That was like the cherry on top of the cake with the holidays. It was a nice thing.
Oh, it was hilarious because then when we got to my family's place, my mother took my phone and started showing my DMs with Eric Idle going, he's texting Eric Idle. He's texting a member of Monty Python. And then like, so proud of me that I was DMing someone on Twitter.
That all that knowledge of 70s music and culture.
Yep.
Paid off for the family.
This is a lesson, kids. In the age of social media, if you get all historical with your influences, they might actually acknowledge it.
So, but
that's
yeah.
been in my week, essentially.
Yeah, and sounds like fun.
I'm hoping that at some point I will completely forget that Eric Idle follows me on Twitter, and then I can go back to just being myself again.
That's like me with in my Twitter with the Foo Fighters. For some reason, this was, to make a long story short, back when the Sound City documentary came out that Dave Grohl did, I put out a tweet. Like he did this thing where I think he posted it from the Sound City Twitter, or someone posted it saying, like, here's a cassette tape with just like a bunch of Sound City artists on it. I'm going to hide it somewhere in Los Angeles. First person to find it, you know, you get a free cassette tape. And I'm like, oh, cool. I don't live in LA, but, you know, kudos to whoever gets that. And I think I made a tweet retweeted that saying like, man, I wish I could get a copy of this tape. I didn't get a copy of the tape, but I had the Foo Fighters account follow me, which I'm pretty sure was mainly just Dave Grohl at that time running it. Cause it was like, I mean, I forget what year, 2014 or something when that came out.
Yeah, I think it was 2014.
I know. Their social media is interesting in the fact that I think it's half run by management, press, you know, whoever does that, and half run by Dave Grohl. And I just thought of it's exciting. Yeah, still that, and I think Van and Chris Schifflin, who's the guitarist, is following me as well. So completely different incidents. Yeah. But yeah, just you follow. I like to picture Dave Grohl sitting with his phone, scrolling through Twitter, and like seeing my account and hitting Aaron follow. What's this guy up to? Oh, he's, you know, I'm from Virginia. He's from West Virginia. Blah blah blah. You know, I'm like, okay. I like to think that's the scenario that played out. That gives me some hope for my future.
Yeah, man. We should have seen if Dave Grohl ever listened to What's Missing. That should have been something. Sent him the shortly thereafter record. Been like, hey man, what you think of this tape?
You know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, he probably listened to it and thought like, yeah, we're taking Royal Blood on this tour, but we really should boot them for these guys.
Suddenly, yeah, I don't know. So we go from the Van thing where we're like barely making anything to, and now you're in the arena.
That mean, I would not be against that.
No, that would be amazing.
Because then you could still play music, but then everyone else does the work. You know, you play the music and everyone else takes care of everything else. So, like, I sit back and catering, eating fucking sausages or something like that, and everyone else is doing the load-in.
I gotta tell you, this story gives me confidence because now I feel like I'll just do my normal thing. Because,
yeah.
Like, if you've been doing your normal thing for so long and the Foo Fighters have still been following you, then I'd say, then there's no reason for me to stop being me. So...
Well, especially at this point, I think if I want to get Dave Grohl's attention, I'll go through his barbecue, you know, social media accounts, which I don't, have you seen those at all?
No.
Oh man, they're a treat. Backbeat barbecue. It's just, it's a hoot to look at. Cause it's not, you look at it as Dave Grohl aside, if you don't know it's Dave Grohl, you're just going to think it's an older dude, just making barbecue, making a bunch of like raunchy old man jokes, and it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really funny.
That's great, though. I mean,
yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
It's one of those amazing things. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous to say because it's obvious, but at the same time, what I like about interacting with people on social media is that you suddenly realize celebrities are people too. They're human beings on the other end of that line.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just PR figures concocted by the press and their management team. They're actual humans. You could bump into them on the street, and if you're cool about it, they might have a good time. So, all in all, I'd say fun times were had by many in the holidays. And the lesson here, kids, is just, you know, hero worship is hollow and unhealthy, and don't engage in it.
If you happen to have one of your heroes follow you on Twitter, just live it up.
Just live it to the max. So, anyway, as we reach the end of 2018, and as this episode, at least I believe, comes out on New Year's Day of 2019...
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's now officially time. Everyone else has already done this, but it's a time for us to do it for real. Reflect on our 2018.
Aaron, yes.
How was your 2018?
Let me tell you about my 2018, because it was eventful. Well, okay, it was eventful. The second half was definitely way more eventful than the first half. The first half, the big notable things I can think of were doing some normal band things. We played some shows. I think the unique thing about What's Missing playing shows this year is that we learned a lot about being a band and kind of learning how to balance that with life. So we didn't play as many shows as we hoped to. We didn't do any touring like we did the past couple years. We really focused on writing and trying to hone our craft and learning what it takes to balance all of the things we have going on. So, and that was a challenge. That was a big challenge. And definitely a lot of highs and lows with that. But besides that, yeah, we music-wise accomplished a good bit. I think we wrote a bunch of songs. We got one song released this part of the year, which was nice. We have a whole album of songs, recorded, and just needs a little polishing before we decide to put those out. But on that side of things, it was awesome. I moved out to the West Coast, which I feel like I've mentioned every single time we've talked. was exciting.
But the question here is, have you moved out to the West Coast?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not quite sure where I'm at. No.
But, where are you living, Aaron? Is it the East Coast you're on right now? Or?
I think it's... If I were to take a guess, it'd be the West Coast.
Is it the West Coast?
I think it's the West Coast. Huh. Best Coast? Is that what they say? I don't know. I don't know.
Who says that?
I'm not in California, so I don't know the lingo. So,
Pacific Northwest Coast.
Yeah, it's a cool place to be. I've mentioned it a bunch of times. All the stuff you can do out here, and it's definitely, even though it's kind of dreary this time of year. I mean, I haven't seen the sun much in the past few weeks, which is unfortunate. But it's not really been below freezing. The rain's been kind of off and on. It's been very mild. It's not like I'm not walking outside, you know, freezing to death. I'm just putting on a light jacket and we'll go out for a hike, and it's beautiful. So. Yeah.
Thank you for the weather update, Kenneth.
Yeah, back to you, Jacob.
Well, my 2018, I would say, in reflection, has definitely been a year of transition. I opened 2018 with no job and little connection to friends and hoping my name wasn't ending up in the papers, so it was an interesting opener. And then spent 8 months working on a whole series of shows that hasn't been released and likely won't see release for at least another couple of years. then began work on another show, which was way easier, and I'm putting it out now on my friend's YouTube channel. I Ate Lemons.
I love how much you come back to that skit.
It's so far, I think, one of those things where it's like postmodern jazz to me, that sketch. Because why is it funny? It's profoundly stupid. But yet I haven't shown it to a single person who hasn't laughed at it. So
I love it's. It reminds me of this one of these memes I saw that had to do with like memes 10 years ago, and it was a picture of like, you know, I don't think it was 10 years ago, it was like Nyan Cat and Icon Has Cheeseburger and all that stuff. It does more classic memes than a meme nowadays. It's like one of those deep fried memes where the image is like distorted and decolorized and like all the text is weird and there's something weird. It just makes absolutely no sense. There's no humor in it at all, except for the fact that there was no sense to it, and that's where the humor is. I love that's where humor went now. That's like where humor is nowadays. We're just, you could do something like the Lemon Sketch that makes little to no sense.
So we're in the post-humor comedy era.
I would say so, yeah.
Post-humor comedy. It's quite fascinating. I mean, that's been an enjoyable show to do.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of records that I've, who was my big discovery this year? I guess I started listening to Genesis a lot more.
Yeah.
By which I mean classic early Genesis, not Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And, did that, discovered the joys of drinking. And, I guess that's pretty much it, I would say.
Yeah.
It's been a year of discovery and new things. I feel like I'm in a better place than I was this time last year, which is
that's awesome.
Wonderful. I mean, it couldn't have been too hard to beat where I was this time last year. Just not be around people who were trying to hurt me.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it took like secluding. At least that's what it was like for me. It's in order to get to a place of like feeling better and stuff, I had to escape a lot of things I was surrounded by, and surround myself with something different just to kind of like refresh my brain a bit.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm disappointed that I don't get to DJ a bunch of classic rock stuff, but then I do things like, did you get to hear? So here's something, folks. Every year, as in the past 2 years, for the Christmas time, I've sent a mixtape to certain select friends of mine. And I've done this the second time this year. And Aaron, have you gotten a chance to listen to that hour-long holiday mixtape?
Not yet, because I was saving it for today when I started. Because rarely do I have enough time to like sit in my car for an hour, not even like the commute. My commute to work is like 45 minutes, but still, I mean, that time's taken up by like listening to news podcasts and just kind of getting caught up and stuff. Mm-hmm. So now that I have today, I'm caught up on everything I need to listen to, and I have just a bunch of time to kill. I'm going to drive around and listen to it. So I have not had a chance to check it out yet, but I am amped, and it's on my schedule.
How would you describe the last one I sent you this time last year? How would you describe that one?
That one was super cool in the fact that, you produced it as a radio show, but in the realm of like, it gave me a sense of watching some sort of like psychedelic Adult Swim special that it was like not the comedy part of it, just like the
because
the mind trip it takes you on.
I'm post-humor comedy. There can be comedy to it because I'm post-humor. That's my style.
But it's not that it was funny. It was just like I was so invested in like the way everything was pieced together and like the little like stories and stuff in between. And all like there was a lot of intricate editing I could tell you did with like sound design and your music selection and stuff like that. It just kind of took me on this mental journey. And when you're like, when I had time to just kind of mindlessly drive around and listen to this, I mean, I got really super engaged with it. And I thought it was like the best thing in the world. And I still think it's like one of the best gifts I've ever been given. It was just such a cool experience to listen to.
And no one will ever hear it because it's got a bunch of Scott Ride stuff in it that I don't know.
That's so unfortunate, too.
So I can share it with friends, but it can never go out publicly.
I know.
I will get slammed with lawsuits.
So I'm excited to hear this new one, even though it's only, like, the last one was, what, 3 hours long?
It
was meant for broadcast. Yeah.
Because it was meant for broadcast. This one's 1 hour long, and it's got a little an idea. So here, I will admit this to you. I don't like spoiling all the surprises, but I will say this one thing. There was an idea that I had for the last one that I implemented in this one.
Yeah.
Which is 5 minutes of radio tuning.
Really?
So so imagine this, if you will. I had an idea last year that I was going to do a radio show where I was going to broadcast on a radio station someone tuning the dial to different radio stations. And there would be moments when people would tune into the radio station we worked at and would be hearing a different station being broadcast through us. And that would have been amazing, and I'm certain that the management heads would have exploded. They would have been so angry with me. And I would have loved it. I would have just said, look at this postmodern art that I've created. I broadcasted like K-Love on a college radio station for like a couple minutes. And
K-Love?
Yeah.
You probably, if you would have sat on U92 with the Morgantown radio frequency and just sat there and just dialed through, you probably picked up K-Love about 5 times on the low end of the spectrum and probably once up high.
Well, what I like about it is that it's a piece of one of these things I've wanted to do. This film idea I've always wanted to do, which is just someone flicking through TV channels, and the whole movie is just like little excerpts of like cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the presented as like someone's just flicking through their TV, and as they go on, the clips just get more and more surreal and bizarre out of context.
Uh-huh.
And I've always wanted to do a short film like that. That's what the radio tuning thing is like on this tape. So I hope Aaron enjoys it, because none of you will ever hear it. But
did you send it to anybody else?
I sent it to you, and I sent it to John Fox, who co-created Fan Fiction Drinking Games with me. I sent it to Nick Prong, who is running the label that I work for now,
mm-hmm.
which is a YouTube channel, for those of you who don't understand my way of referring to it. And I sent it to Rob, who's one of the other people signed to the label I work for.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the 4 people I've sent it to, which is an upgrade from last year where it was just you, John, and Nick.
Yeah.
And there's one other person in on it.
Oh, but getting back on topic, damn, we got sidetracked
there.
Yeah,
that was a topic.
That was a good topic.
That was part of the piece.
Yeah, but besides that, your 2018.
My 2018 was...
It overall sounds like it got way better than last year.
I mean, I would say that I spent the first half of it kind of not doing what I should have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always hate talking about it because I feel like I'm slamming 3 other people, and I don't want to be seen to do that.
Yeah.
But I can say now, in hindsight, that trying to do a season 4 of Fan Fiction Dream Games, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
And I should have just ended it on the boat. Mm-hmm. But,
Well, I guess publicly it still has ended on the boat.
It still has ended on the boat. Though it does end with a tease for season 4, which I'm like, I should have just cut it. Oh, well, I mean, it's like one of those, it'll go out one day, but I mean, once I was done with that and started doing the gaming weekend, it was enjoyable. I'm actually, and then doing this a few, which we'd been planning for like half a year.
Yeah.
Was something that I'm enjoying as well.
Yeah.
And if it's at the current time of recording, still not out yet.
Yeah. But it will be, finally. I'm so happy for that. It's even better that it doesn't cost money, which is like perfect.
I'm actually in an interesting place right now. I currently sit in a place where I have at least 3 different projects all lined up that I'll be working on simultaneously, which is the most I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm actually at a spot right now where I can pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be this, the gaming weekend, and then another... Ironically enough, another podcast that a friend of mine wants to do. And
he asked me cool. to be a part of. Nice.
And I was like, okay. So, it's been a busy time, but I like it being busy. I don't like sitting around doing nothing all the time.
Yeah. And keep yourself active. I mean, especially someone like you. As long as I've known, you've always been the creative type. So, I feel like for someone like you to sit idly is just impossible.
Mm. And then I probably... I don't know if I'm going to record it today, but I'm probably going to have to at some point send out a message on my channel saying, hey, here's the status of what my actual personal YouTube channel is doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably going to be retiring it here in a bit.
Just really?
Knowing I can, yeah, well, because this isn't going out on YouTube, to my mm-hmm. knowledge. And the gaming weekend isn't going out on that channel. And I don't know what the story is of the other project I'm working on, but I highly doubt it's going on my channel either.
Yeah.
So, it really is now just a matter. That's the channel now I'll use to like make sort of personal videos and things that just aren't a part of all the other projects I'm working on.
Yeah.
But aside from that, like it's been a very busy, productive time, and I'm very glad that it's mm-hmm. a busy, productive time now.
So, actually, I think this is a good segue. Going into 2019, got these big plans and stuff. Do you have any like goals just for the year, or I guess any like 2019 and looking forward long-term goals, like what are you looking to accomplish in the next year plus?
Get money.
I love that feeling. I don't say I love the feeling. I like getting money. I hate the process of getting to it.
I want to be able to finally get the glorified piece of paper that universities hand out.
Yeah.
I want to hopefully find a steady income. which yeah. I have zero clue how to do because I've worked two paying jobs in my life, and I pretty much just stumbled into both of them.
Yeah.
So actually, like, going out and searching on the job market is going to be a fascinating experience that I have zero idea how to actually do.
Well, if you want something to kill in the meantime, I mean, there's always radio stations in Morgantown hiring.
I hope there are. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I would be fine if I just worked for a radio station in Morgantown. If it paid enough that I could, like, get an apartment and a place of my own and just stay there, like, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't need a lot of money. Just, you know.
I think with any radio job in the area, it's going to be part-time. So at least if you want to get started.
Yeah.
I started off with part-time. I got offered full-time, but I didn't take it. And that was just because I lived in Elkins, and that's a different radio market. But yeah, if you want, I mean, if that's something you want to do, I got your hookups. definitely. That's kind of my place this year. I'm making a comfortable amount of money right now where I'm at. Not really liking the job because I'm working night shift still. It's working for Amazon, which is just ugh. But but I'm living comfortably, which is cool. I'm able to buy because people listening can't see this, but we got this webcam set up, and I got this nice new shirt from Old Navy. Feeling nice and comfortable. I'm wearing like comfortable, not cheap clothes, and I'm loving it. So, well, I would say they're not cheap. I mean, I paid like $8 for this shirt, but comfortable, newer clothes that aren't like band tees. So, I consider that an upgrade for me because considering my entire wardrobe was band tees for a while. But yeah, I'm living comfortably, making enough money.
I don't feel that's a problem.
I don't know. I've been wearing band tees for the past about 5 years, so I think I would like to update my wardrobe and my style
bit. You need your support.
They got the money. Nobody, t-shirts don't advertise. Nothing advertises bands anymore from my experience. So.
What does advertise bands?
Spotify numbers, which are arbitrary anyways, and I don't know how many quality memes you can post on your social media.
How many memes? That should be the title of the next What's Missing album.
How many memes? How many memes can we cram on this record of serious songs in order to get you to listen to it and or buy it? Question is, there's no number or any, that's just hopeless. So
that's the label. The front cover says how many memes, and then the back cover says it's just hopeless.
So, yeah, okay, 2019 for you, making money. What else you got, if anything?
Hopefully keep doing more of the gaming weekend and more of this show.
I like the whole Serenaded Caffeine setup with its... Like I said, and I feel like I say this a lot, too. From my perspective, wagging the finger, old man.
Have you seen the episode where I... don't explicitly say it, but still kind of gently nudge you against not sharing the video with people.
Oh no, yeah, I still haven't caught up on all the videos. I got through the first couple Battle for Bikini Bottom episodes. I'm still like working my way up the list. So
there's part three where I say a little, oh yeah, I've got a friend who just isn't sharing the show
with people. You know, I felt guilty about saying that. I've been thinking about this the past couple weeks, and I thought this morning, like, okay, so to me, social media is just one big game. Like, I'm trying to hone in my social media presence, especially on, like, Instagram and stuff like that, but, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, why not post it? I mean, I don't have much of an audience anyways, but a little bit of nudge always... I mean, I'm sure that little nudge would help in some fashion.
At least it would get people to, like, maybe go, like, hey, what's this Aaron's sharing with us?
I think I just need to... On that topic real quick, I think you need to just find a way to, like, when I want to share other content and or share any sort of content in general, I just need to find, like, a theme, like, just a certain way to present that content that fits some sort of theme. So whether taking a photo or you posting a video.
Could I suggest a theme to you?
What's that?
I shared this with you because you follow me on my profile, and that leads to the assumption that you care about what I like, and because I like it, I'm sharing it with you because these are my preferences as a human being, and that is the theme. The theme is what Aaron likes, and if he likes it, he shares it with people. That's what the underlying theme of using social media is. I like it, so I share it. That's how it works, you fool!
I love the deep getting up on the microphones because the audio goes from like normal conversation to just like ASMR, very intricate. Hear all the details of the vocal cords.
Let me
be clear with you. you will share the video of people because you like it, and then you go, I like this. If you like what I like, then you will probably like this as well. And then the people who like that go, hey, if you like this, then you will like this as well. It's called the domino effect. It's what makes things popular.
I haven't caught up completely yet. Did you just wrap up Battle of Bikini Bottom or Battle for Bikini Bottom?
No.
You still playing that? Okay.
Yes. We're still recording it.
Okay. Has it gone from like, is it now a group effort, or is it just this game is a group effort?
Bizarrely enough, it's gone into a group effort, but that's not what the show is going to be forever. Where it is right now is that Saturday is Super Mario Party, which we recorded in October, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday is Battle for Bikini Bottom. When Super Mario Party wraps up in mid, like late to early January, February, I want to say.
Yeah.
Then it's going to start being Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4, and that I'm recording with John.
That I'm excited for.
So it's turned into a group effort, but there will be a time where it goes back to just being me.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I like recording other people, and as much as it makes life 10 times easier for me to commentate, because then I'm not really having to improv everything, I'm just reacting off of other people. It's the point of the show was that it was something I was just doing on my own little island, and mm-hmm. I will eventually return to that formula. But
yeah.
I don't want to say formula, though, because I hate formulas. That was why I didn't have fun making Season 3.
Well, I thought this... It's all an ongoing experiment, so.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you'll fall into some sort of formula or routine or something.
Well, I hope not, though. I hope I don't
fall into at least into something you like, you know.
Something that
makes sense with you.
I hope I fall into a popularity routine. I hope I fall into a routine that I put out a video and then people watch it, and it's not just like me tricking the system by watching the video again and again and again.
Oh, man. But, I completely forgot how we got into this conversation.
Well, you were asking me what my goals were for 2019.
That's right.
I must ask you what your goals are for 2019.
Well, my biggest goal is to get out of this job. Because, like I said, while I'm making decent money and everything's all nice and dandy and I'm living all right, I mean, this job is just killing me with, like... It's okay. I don't know how well you know me. I'm not the kind of person that does physical labor. I can do it, and I can do it well, but I don't like doing it. Of course, I'm sure that goes for everybody. I'm sure nobody actually likes to, you know,
there are people bust their who ass. Do, I feel.
I'm sure. Well, okay.
But they're weird. So.
They're not the kind of people I hang around. Not because there's anything wrong with them. That's just not me.
I just don't chill with those people. You like manual labor? I don't trust you. I don't hang with your crowd.
Basically, I'm trying to get back into... Because I miss being in radio, and I miss doing photography and stuff like that. And I never had a chance to do... Well, I guess I had a chance to do radio full-time, but not really doing exactly what I wanted. But I want to fall back into doing some sort of creative process and generate content in some fashion as a full-time career that also pays well. So I think that's kind of my goal this year, is to kind of jump into that a bit more, kind of hone in on some of my skills and start really pushing into getting into at least... into a similar field that I want. Like, maybe I want to be a professional photographer, and I'll go into trying to do real estate photography at first. Not the ideal job, but that definitely pays the bills and gets you experience.
Then, in many ways, you're selling houses. So
yeah. Plus, I feel like of all things, I want to go into real estate photography to A, learn photography better, and B, learn to invest in real estate, because that is money.
That is money in the bank.
So, yeah. Hopefully, by the time I'm 30, I'm... Maybe not a millionaire, but I'll have a comfortable pocket of money to work with.
Only by the time I'm 30, then I've made my legacy on people. Because I know that once I turn 34, that's the end of it.
Specifically 34?
Oh, yes. I have a theory that a lot of artists, particularly in music, actually, once they reach the age of 34, that's it.
There's no hope.
Their influential period has now passed. And then the rest of it is like just servicing its fans.
Yeah.
And they can still have hits, but they're not like hits that are on the level of like, wow, this was game changing when it came out.
Yeah, it's like U2 doing a song with Kendrick Lamar. Like, yeah, it's a pretty cool song, but I mean, you're not really reaching to a new generation, I feel.
You know what I loved when they did that? Was that the excerpt of the demo that was on the damn album was better than the finished product that was on Songs of Experience.
I haven't heard that one.
They're on some song on Damn that is like a demo version of the song they did with Kendrick.
Oh, okay.
And the version on Kendrick's album is 10 times better than what came out on Songs of Experience.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to check that out then.
Yeah. So I'll look it up. I think it's called XXX.
Okay.
Still, that was like very much, I just remember listening to Songs of Experience and being like, this is really frustrating. Well, here's what I loved. Okay, so we all know that Songs of Innocence was released rather controversially.
Yeah.
With it being forced onto the general populace. I actually didn't complain. I didn't mind that album nearly as much as Songs of Experience because I was like, hey, they're giving it to me for free.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to be like, oh, you two, one of the biggest bands of the 80s, like, just handed me their new album. I don't have to pay money for it. Like, oh, no thanks. Like, no. But what I loved is that there's this show on Cartoon Network called The Amazing World of Gumball.
Oh, I love that show.
Did you see the episode where they got the upgrade for the robot friend, Bobbert?
No.
And then he says, they're like asking him what are his new features, and he goes, I come with a free download of an album by a popular band, and he plays some generic stock music that sounds like U2. And the two main characters, Gumball and Darwin, just collapse onto the floor and start writhing in agony. And Gumball screams, make it stop! It sounds like... what is it? I'm trying to remember the line. He goes, it's something along the lines of, it sounds like an electric guitar being played through a cheese grater by a bunch of pompous old men in leather pants. Make it stop.
Oh, man.
And I watched that and I went, wow. How many, just wow, just slam them to the ground, why don't you? We don't care you made Joshua Tree you two. Look at this. Like, the kids program is throwing you down to the ground.
The kids program of all things.
Yeah, the children's cartoon. The children's program freaking pegged you two to the wall. That was amazing.
It's not Adult Swim. It's just regular.
It's regular young Cartoon Network.
Yeah. That show is kind of geared for everybody, though, I feel.
It is. Oh, I think it's the funniest family sitcom, animated sitcom since, like, The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I mean, like, classic Simpsons.
Yeah, it's super good.
It's so creative and funny and self-aware. I mean, it's just great.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, so my... I feel like it's always like... Take, like, a 30-mile detour from the topic, and then, like, suddenly you're transported back to the main highway.
Isn't that the podcast formula, though? Isn't that probably the template of, like, you know...
I saw this joke. I think it might accurately reflect what this is, and it was, like, this little tweet, just, like, a pretend conversation between, like, a mother and a child, and it's like, Mommy, what's a podcast? And the mom's like, well, child, you see, when two men have a bunch of ideas that they want to share... a bunch of opinions they want to talk about, .. I'm like, well, that's exactly what we're doing.
Hey, you in the market for these hot takes? You in the market for these hot takes and fresh opinions? Because I got something to lay down for you right here.
But I feel like that accurately describes what we're doing here. It's just a couple of white dudes talking about what they think of things.
I don't like to be labeled, sir. I don't like to be labeled with the term white Caucasian male. How dare you do that to me?
but yeah,
I want to pretend that I'm more oppressed than I really am.
Oh, God. That's the topic I do not want to get into.
No.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so 2019, new job. That would be awesome. I think it's... just fucking put the stamp on it. We're moving on.
It's like someone drove through a cornfield and then landed back on the road.
But yeah, moving new job. I mean, really, I don't know. I do need to come back home at some point. I keep texting Zane about this. Like, I need to come back. We need to do another What's Missing show. Just because, I don't know. I mean, the whole band thing is just kind of slowed down, obviously. But I think we just need to make some sort of definitive plans to get things moving again.
You
need to
message me when you do. I gotta be there and document it.
Oh, of course. Of course. I'll set up a camera too. We'll just do like a whole multi-cam thing. I'll get professional. That's what I want to do for all of our shows in Morgantown at 123. I want to do like any sort of video, and then I want to get like multi-track soundboard recording so I can just play around with it. Like, I would like to just have that stuff documented. One thing I got, and this I guess this also falls into things I liked about 2018. That documentary film you did with our tour, or I guess our entirety of 2017, the band's 2017. I sat back down and I watched that a couple days ago, and I love the fact that exists.
Did that come out this year?
That was, I think, to my knowledge, we put that out officially as a band thing 1 year after the Shortly Thereafter release, which would have been, so February of 2018. Yeah, we put it out.
Huh. That's crazy. Yeah. I thought it was last year. But
it feels like so. I mean, I guess it was almost, it was 10, almost 11 months ago. So I guess it has felt like a year. But yeah, we put that out this year, and then I sat back down and I watched it. And I'm just like, what other, I'm thinking of other local bands and other, like, just other, like, small artists in general that have that opportunity to have someone, you know, document an entire year of your life through this one perspective of being in a band. I mean, I think the fact that exists, and, like, I can look back on that as, like, a snapshot of like this period in my life and the life of people I've been around. Like, I think it's such a cool thing.
I have a director's cut that has a bit more behind the scenes footage.
Oh, buddy, if you're done with that, I need to see that.
It's probably, I'm not gonna lie, it is probably the first edit I gave you.
Really?
And
the super first, yeah.
This the first edit, but I think I maybe like brightened the footage a little bit.
Oh. Because I'll sit down, I will watch, I think I have it, I have a hard drive somewhere with every single bit of raw footage you took of that tour. I have it all saved to a hard drive somewhere. I need to do a double backup, because I think I only have one copy of it. But,
I mean, I've got a copy of some of that footage, I think.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about Google Photos. I can just dump all my photos and videos online. Like, I lose a little bit of quality, but if I'm never going to come back to them, if I want them there, it's just like as a catalog or something, like, I'll dump them there and go back to them anytime I want for free.
I got those nice pictures of you guys when you played main stage. Those were enjoyable.
Those were super cool. Especially that, like, the really trippy one with the strobe lights going off.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
And the one that you had as your profile pic for, like, the longest time.
Yeah. Stage. Yeah, I love that photo.
The Keith Richards shot, I call it.
That's like, if I could ever have a photo of me playing guitar, that was it. Just like... Even though I was very aware you were there taking it, but I like just kind of just like pretended I was like, ooh, off my little space doodling and stuff. God, what a day that was. That was such a stressful day.
I just remember after the gig, you said, I need to go for a walk. Can I have your umbrella? And you just took my umbrella and walked off and didn't tell me where you were going.
I didn't know where I was going.
So then as the band started to pack up and everything, and we were going outside, I suddenly started thinking, shit, Aaron's got my umbrella, and I don't know where the hell he went. I just gave him my umbrella, and I had to get back to my car. It's like really pouring out too.
I guess it's one of the better things about getting through this year is I feel mentally a lot better than I did last year. I mean, especially at that show, at that point, it was just like, you're coming out of winter, and I mean, it's been cold and dreary outside forever, and I'm like, that's bad enough. Mm. That show was one of the most stressful things I've ever been through, because I lost a lot of money on the deal just because I didn't know what I was doing. And just so many things happening at once then. That was like a week after my grandfather had died, and like just, okay, but still. Yeah. So better place now than I was then. So
yes, that's the lesson here.
So, crazy year.
Crazy 2018 has been.
See, we've been going. Oh, we've been at this for almost an hour already. Wow.
We certainly have. Wow, wow, wow. So then I guess we'll probably then start wrapping it up, won't we?
I guess we should, yeah.
So I'd like to propose a toast to 2019. Hopefully all the big transitional things we've done this year lead to grand success next year.
I think so.
I'd like to thank you all for listening to the Juke Joint. Be sure, if you like it, to check out the rest of the episodes and subscribe to the show however you can on whatever platform you're using right now.
Yeah, don't forget and leave a review, comments, do whatever it needs, whatever you need to do to leave us some sort of rating on the service of your choice, because like we've said every other episode, we need your feedback. We need to know how to make this a better show, not just for us, but for all the people out there listening, like you.
We need it right now, and you guys don't comment. I mean, I know we've put out these three episodes simultaneously, but still.
How dare you not immediately give us feedback?
How dare you not immediately give us feedback when we haven't released it to the public yet?
All right, Jake, where can they find your stuff on the internet?
Well, if you want to check out my other show, you can find Jacob's Gaming Weekend at Serenade at Caffeine at YouTube.com. If you want to follow me on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Rem2Wetmer. At Rem2 Whitmer, not Wetmer. I don't know who Wetmer is. And then you can follow Aaron at Dale Aaron Hart.
That is both on Twitter and Instagram. All these links will be in the show notes, of course, so you don't have to go digging for it. And I probably should still update my handles to something a little more easy to access for everybody, because it's hard to describe to people that my username is Dale Aaron Hart, because they're like, I don't go to... I'm like, well, I guess I grew up on NASCAR, so it's a different story. But but yeah, so that
mine's just the symmetry of my last name, so that makes things easy.
I guess it makes it super simple, yeah. But that'll wrap it up for us here this week with the Juke Joint. Be sure to join us next week as we talk about random things such as what are we gonna talk about, Jacob? Quick, hurry! First idea. What are we talking about?
We're gonna talk about the trees.
And I'm gonna talk about a giant cheeseburger that I'm about to eat later this weekend. So, thanks for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for those lovely topics, concepts, whatever you want to call them, and we will see you then.
And I lied. Unfortunately for people, we're not talking about the trees next week.
Oh, man, how unfortunate.
Because the trees, I don't have anything to say about the trees.
Bye-bye.
Bye.